This is the day, Lord, the day of renewing of covenant, Shavuot, Pentecost, where you confirm your covenant with your people. Break out in this place, Holy Spirit. We call on you, Holy Spirit. We call on you. Break forth. Break forth. Break forth, Holy Spirit, in this place. This is the day, 50 days from the Sabbath of Passover, when they were all assembled, and it's literally this day, 2,000 some odd years later, when God poured out his Spirit on people in that upper room. This is literally that day. It's 50 days since the Sabbath of Passover. That's today. It's the day that God chooses to put his covenant into effect. This is the day when Noah stepped out of the ark. Did you know that? This is the day Noah stepped out of the ark. Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. It says, on the something day of the second month, because it depends. Because it has to be 50 days after Passover. And it was on that day he stepped out of the ark, and God put a rainbow in the sky and made a covenant with man. And he said, I will never again flood the earth with water. You can go and you can read, if you're familiar with the book of Jubilees, just keep playing. If you can read the book of Jubilees, you'd find out that every time God made a covenant with somebody, it was on this day. It's not an accident. God works not in mysterious, but in specific ways. And they're mysterious to us if we don't know. But we can know. And this is the day when God poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. That's because the counting of the Omer was done. Passover had come. Jesus was the Passover lamb. He was unleavened bread, removing sin from the house. He was the first fruits from the grave, born. Come on, that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He has fulfilled all of that. Then he comes and he says, I'm gonna give you my Spirit. You wait until you be endued with power by the Holy Ghost. And you go and you wait. They knew what he was talking about because they were there with him. They knew to be waiting. God was going to do something special on that day. And just like when he gave his wedding vows, come on, his wedding vows through Moses to his people, he gave his Spirit as a seal until the day of perfection, until the day of his returnment. He is married to you. He is married to you. He's got his fragrance all over you. He's got his aroma. Every devil knows that you belong to him. Come on. The devil knows. You belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. I want Mariel to come up. God bless Mariel. She's got her shofar. Yeah. Yeah, bring your shofar. You can sit down. If you guys could keep playing kind of quietly. You know what I mean? How that goes. Mariel has got, see, I've got my little shofar. Mariel's got this really nice big one. And Mariel, could you explain the four different types of
Yeah, but I just have to say, oh my goodness, as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, because that's who the Father is looking for, amen? Yes. And it was such great joy. In his presence, there was fullness of joy. And I was just, you know what, we're dancing and praising. And I was just praising and just so freely, just like David did. David didn't care what anybody thought about him. I don't care what anybody thinks about me, because Father God is so well pleased. Father God is so well pleased. The worship is so anointed because you're worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. And then his presence was just overwhelming to the point of I was struggling looking for Kleenex. I mean, his presence is so overwhelming. Wow. So the shofar, just so you know, Pastor David has a little ram's horn, and I've got, this is what it looks, well, on it, it's called a kudu, and this is what it is on an antelope. This comes from an antelope, and then they take this, and they clean it out, okay? And so they clean it all the blood and guts and gore, but what this is actually from Israel,
yes.
And throughout the Bible, you will read in the both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it refers to the shofar. Hebrew is shofar, and you will read it as trumpet also. And in Nehemiah 4, verse 20, it says, when you hear the sound of the shofar, gather to us at the wall, and our God will fight for us. And we know we are in a huge battle between good and evil, truth and lies, life and death. We choose truth. We choose life. Thank you, Lord. And so another verse I'd like Amy to read, please, just so y'all... And this is also in the Old Testament, Psalm 150, verses 1 through 3.
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the shofar. Praise him with the harp and the lyre.
And he says, praise him with the shofar. And if you don't have a trumpet, if you don't have a shofar, use your voice, use your voice. God's given you your own shofar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we blow this, it is a spiritual weapon. But more than this, it's another tool that the Lord has given us as we come dressed in his armor. But the thing is, it's also God's heart. And when the enemy comes, the enemy hates this, y'all. The enemy, when I blow this, the enemy flees. Because guess what's going to happen? When God returns, you're going to hear this sound throughout the heavens. The enemy hates that. He flees. And so I just would like to explain the four calls as we recognize and honor the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, our God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Son, O God, our soon returning King, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, because you are here. Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God, lives within each one of us. And we thank you, O God. When Jesus, Yeshua, ascended to heaven, you did not leave us as orphans. You sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us, guide us, and direct us. We are so grateful to comfort and teach us. Wow, we are blessed. We have everything we need because we have you, Lord, as number one in our lives. Glory to God. So the first call, and this is also rabbis in Israel and throughout the Middle East, they blow the shofar too. So the four calls, we've done a lot of research, and these are the four calls. And I'm saying the words in Hebrew. The first call is the tekia, and it's a call to assemble as we gather together, and that's what we're doing right now, to worship the Lord. The second call is the shevarim, and that is a call of humbleness and brokenness as we come before the Lord with humble hearts. Repentant hearts, just seeking his face, his way, his will. The third call, one of my favorites, is the teruah. Everyone say teruah. And the teruah is a spiritual warfare call. And it sounds like it too. It's the staccato. It's like da 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 da. And you could just see the machine guns going out, hitting the enemy, taking the enemy out. The last call is the tekia gadolah. It's a call of our soon returning King. And when he returns, there's deliverance, there's healing, and we can have that right here, right now, because Jesus told us that. He said greater things that you will do. Hallelujah. So I'm going to blow these calls, and then I'll blow a fifth call, which will also. And if you stand and just welcome the Lord to increase, God is here. His presence is amazing. Woo!
Scripture. Deuteronomy 16:11 says, and this is in reference to Shavuot. Go ahead and you can stand up. Deuteronomy 16:11, and this is directly in relation to Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. It says, rejoice before Yahweh your God in the place where he chooses to have his name dwell. You, your son and daughter, your male and female slave, the Levite within your gates, as well as the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow among you. We are to rejoice before God in the blowing of the in the blowing of the shofar on Pentecost, Shavuot. It's no wonder that when the day of Pentecost fully came, there was a loud noise, as a rushing wind from heaven. Come on, because it's a loud noise. It's a rejoicing. Come on, go ahead.
And there's always an open heaven. It's even the Lord is here, but there is. And you can see this, and you can sense this in the spirit. There will be even more. The heavens will open even more, and heaven will come down, because the Lord says, thy kingdom, we are to pray, thy kingdom come. Yes. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And all of heaven is watching. God's eyes are on each one of you. He is so well pleased that you're here today to honor him, to bless him.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. We glorify you in this place. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We rejoice in our soon coming King. We glorify you. We magnify you. We lift up holy voices. We lift up holy hands unto you, the God of our salvation. Oh, we magnify you today, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. You're breaking down walls in our hearts this morning. You're causing us to walk in a greater fullness and a greater revelation and a greater understanding of who you are and what you have for us and what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, we glorify you today, Lord. Thank you for walking through this place with us and being here with us today. Hallelujah. Never before have I quite followed the feasts as God gave them in the Old Testament. But this year, I'm going through and I'm following the Torah portions and I'm following the feasts that God prescribed in the Old Testament. And the more I do it, the more excited I get for what God is doing. I mean, when you think about that, this is literally 50 days to the day from the Sabbath at Passover, where Jesus was in the grave. And it's 50 days from then, and that's when God gave his commandments to his people. First, this is amazing, because when you follow it, then you start to see the progression. First, he brought his people out of Egypt. He saved them. He caused death to pass over them. 50 days later, he gave them instruction on how to live. First, he saved them. Then he gave them instructions on how to live for him. Now, he said in Ezekiel, he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you. I'm going to put my laws in your hearts, and you'll be able to follow me. So he did that on the day of Pentecost, there with the disciples, the followers of Jesus. He did just exactly what he said he was going to do. He is always doing that. And as Mariel was pointing out, and she was talking about the trumpet blast, and she teruah. Anybody ever heard the term Yom Teruah? Okay, Yom Teruah is the feast of Rosh Hashanah. It is the feast of trumpets. Paul references the feast of trumpets when he says, when the last trumpet blows, the dead in Christ shall rise. And they that are already dead will be with him, but we will rise and we will join with him in the skies. That's what's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. we're going to hear the trumpet. Get used to hearing the trumpet. Get used to hearing the trumpet. Because on that day, because Jesus said, when he referenced it, he said, of that day, no man knows the day or the hour. Do you know why? Not because nobody knows, but because on Yom Teruah, you have to wait until the new moon is declared by the high priest. It can come on one of 2 days. No man knows the exact day or hour. But it's going to happen one day in the fall feast. How do I know? Because he fulfilled every spring feast right down to the T. Exactly. Exactly. And he is going to fulfill the fall feast exactly. Exactly. And he's going to come for us one year. I don't know which year, but I know what day to be looking for him. Because I go out on Yom Teruah, and I look up, and I, is today the day, Lord? Because he's coming on that day. But I'm more and increasingly excited as time goes by. And I, you know, natural things get discouraging in life. But if we stop looking at the natural things, then it'll make it easier to keep on doing what we know is the good thing to do, what is the right thing to do. And even when people are, you know, because I was talking to a friend of mine on Facebook, and she asked me, she said, do you know anything about, you know, the people who keep Torah and follow the feasts? We've been friends for years. I just replied back, I said, I'm one of them. Because I'm just never sure what people are going to say. Because see, I can be full gospel, Pentecostal, Holy Spirit filled, tongue talker, following Torah and keeping the feasts. Because I believe that that's what God intended. Okay? Because when you've studied as much history as I have on what we're doing and why, you start to get an idea that somebody's been fighting against us, following God. Right? So she asked, and I said, well, yeah, I'm one of them. And she says, well, I've got these friends that tell me, you know, if I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, that you know, and she's, you know, she says they're telling me that, you know, we'll be invited to the wedding, but we won't be the bride and all this. I mean, just wacky stuff. I said, they're Pharisees. Leave them alone. Yeah. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. So much of, I'm just going to add this in. So much of what we're told in the Old Testament, we can't literally physically do because there's no temple. So the best we can do is honor it because we are the temple. So we being the temple, we can honor and we can do the things that God has told us to do. And it's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. God has said, when you do this, rejoice. Because this is what he wants. He has always said, and you can read that in so many places throughout Scripture. And I just read it this morning. For you and the visitor, the guest, the foreigner that's with you, this is for all of you to come and to rejoice in my presence at this time. And there's something about coming together when we do things. Like a couple years ago, we came here, and I had read in Nehemiah 4:20 that said, wherever you blow the shofar, there you will have victory. And we came out here because people were stealing off the property all the time. And we came out here and we followed Scripture. And we blew the shofar. And you know, we haven't had that problem since then. Occasional minor little things. But I mean, we had the yard sale out here this weekend. And I said, just leave the canopy out there. Nobody's going to steal it. And we left the canopy out there. And nobody stole it. Come on. God is faithful. If he says do something and we do it, even if we don't fully understand, then he's gonna bless our socks off just because we're doing it out of obedience. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for each and every one of us here. Your children, your called out ones. Your saints, your holy ones, your set apart ones. We thank you, Father. We will receive today your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm gonna, because of time, I'm gonna skip through some things and I'm gonna get to the gist. Okay, Joseph had a dream, In his dream, he saw his family bowing down and worshiping him. Do you think his family liked that? That'd be like if Josiah said to me, Daddy, I had a dream. And you and Mommy and Faith and Grandpa all bowed down and worshiped me. I'd say, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't you think that that's kind of what Joseph's family thought? Man, he has had too many pizza dreams in a row. But see, his brother Reuben, who was the firstborn from Leah and the firstborn of the sons, had a marital affair with his father's concubine. And so because of that, according to the law, which wasn't even given yet, interesting, it wasn't even given yet through Moses, but there was an oral understanding because before the law was written, it was orally passed down. Because he had an affair with his father's concubine, he wasn't allowed to have the firstborn inheritance. So the firstborn inheritance passes on to the firstborn from the other wife, which is Joseph. So they decide they're gonna get rid of Joseph because they don't want him to be the firstborn with the firstborn blessing and ruling over them, just like his vision saw. But God had a way through all of that. Joseph ends up in slavery. He is the slave in a house. The wife of the husband accuses him of trying to molest her, which he didn't do. He goes to prison. He meets a couple of guys there that worked for the king. They both have dreams, and he says to the one guy, you want this one. He says, well, you know, I see you, your dream means that you'll be working with the king again. And he's the cupbearer. The cupbearer. And so he sees that this guy, according to his dream, he's going to be back in Pharaoh's house serving Pharaoh again. And the baker says, well, I had this dream. And he says, well, your dream unfortunately means you're going to get decapitated in just a couple of days. And nobody wants that interpretation for a dream. I had a dream yesterday morning, and it had so many layers of meaning to it. But fortunately, it didn't mean I was going to be decapitated in a couple days. Hallelujah for that. And he says to the cupbearer, when you get back to Pharaoh's house, just remember me. And a couple years goes by. Do you know it's easy to think a couple years goes by, he's probably forgotten about me. He probably won't remember me. But Pharaoh has a dream, and nobody can interpret the dream. And the cupbearer says, hey, you know what? I had this guy who interpreted my dream in prison, and he was right. So they go and they get Joseph. Joseph interprets his dream, and he's right. It's about 7 years of increase and 7 years of famine. Notice there's a lot of seven-year activity in the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. God is big into sevens. So he comes, and Pharaoh makes him second only to himself in all the land of Egypt. And his family comes, there's the famine. And they come for help. And Joseph recognizes them. And he doesn't lord over them. But who do they have to bow down to receive help? They have to bow down to Joseph. Joseph has gone through everything he's gone through. He gets married. He has a son. His firstborn son, his name is Manasseh. Can you say Manasseh? Manasseh means cause to forget. Joseph is saying, in the naming of his firstborn son, you have blessed me so much. You have caused me to forget my past, and I can move on. You caused me to forget my past so I could move on. God wants to cause us to forget our pasts so that we can move on. Ruth has married a young man and married into a Jewish family, and they're in the wilderness of Midian. Her father-in-law dies, then her husband and her brother-in-law die. Her sister-in-law leaves to go back to her own people. But Ruth says to Naomi, Ruth is not a Jewish person, but she says, I will not ever leave you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And wherever you go, I will go with you. All around the world today, in Jewish synagogues, yesterday on Sabbath, Jewish people and today will be reading the book of Ruth. Because when Naomi tells Ruth to go out and to go out to the field of their kinsman redeemer, They are following the path of Shavuot. They're doing what is commanded. On Shavuot, you are to leave extra grain along the edges of the field. So Ruth goes out, and do you know what happens? It says in Scripture, God caused Boaz to notice Ruth. God caused Joseph to forget the past, to forget the past hurts. God caused Boaz to notice Ruth. Now she's going to get married, and she's going to have a son, and his son's name is Obed. Do you know what Obed means? It means worshiper. Boaz and Ruth have a son, and now they worship because they have been brought together. God brought them together, and they have a son, and his son is Jesse, the father of David, the king of Israel. God put a non-Jewish person two generations out from David to be the king of Israel, to reign over all 12 tribes of Israel. God caused Ruth's life to change. She simply decided, I'm just going to do whatever her God says to do. I'm going to go wherever her God leads her, and I'm going to follow her, and her God will be my God. Joseph, Ruth. In Luke, Jesus has a friend. Don't you like that? I was thinking about this, Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' friend, but he wasn't one of his disciples. He wasn't one of the 12. But he was his dear friend. And his dear friend died. When his dear friend died, Jesus was still somewhere else. He comes 4 days later. And everybody's weeping. And Martha says, I know that whatever you say can happen. And Jesus says, we're going to go out to the tomb. So they go out to the tomb. And he says, roll the stone away. And it says, he prays and he says, Father, I know that you'll do whatever I say. Whatever I ask, you'll do. But I'm praying this out loud so that everybody else will know that when I say this, it's because you do what I ask. And he shouts, Lazarus, come forth. It says he shouted. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. He comes out. And what is wrapped around him still? His burial clothes. And what does he say to the people? Lazarus has already been raised from the dead, but what needs to happen still? He needs to have his burial clothes taken off. He still smells like death. He still smells like the grave. He still looks like the grave. Every single one of us, when we came to Jesus, we came to him and we got saved, but we still smell like death. Our lives still smell like. They still look like. I think about Joyce Meyer, man. I mean, how many of you guys have heard her testimony? She was molested by her own father for years. She gets saved. She starts having a Bible study wearing Daisy Duke short shorts. Have you heard her talk about this? She said, here I am having Bible study in my house wearing Daisy Duke short shorts and smoking cigarettes. Come on, you get saved, and you come in, and you still look like the world. You still look and sound like death. Your language hasn't changed. We think when people come in that they ought to come in and just be all self-cleaned. They get saved, and we think, well, they ought to be all grown up now, just like I am. Well, stop it, because you're not just all grown up either. Come on, each and every one of us has been through it. We've been through stuff. They had to take the burial clothes off of him. What do you think when we come into church and we're the more mature ones and someone comes in and they've still got the world all over them, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to help them remove the burial clothes. We're not supposed to walk up to them and say, you need to change this and you need to do this different. We're supposed to say, I love you. And you're supposed to start creating a relationship with them. You know, Paul said to the women in the church, he said, you older women, teach the younger women. That's not necessarily because they're older, but maybe because they're more mature. You mature ones help the less mature ones to become more mature. Don't you look down on them because they're different than you. Paul said to Timothy, don't let anybody despise you because of your youth. We're supposed to be the ones who are helping to remove the burial clothes from people. We love them. We help them. Lazarus is rotting in the tomb. Every single one of us was rotting in the world. And then Jesus came, and he put his spirit in us when we received salvation. That did not make anyone perfect. It just made them saved. It made them on a different path. We come to Jesus, we all still have our earth clothes on, our burial clothes on. Some of us, come on, I've still got some burial wraps in places. They need to be removed. Each and every one of us still have some burial straps on us. Listen, I'm just really blunt here. There are people who have been through hell in this world, and they're in the church, and they're still having hell attached to them because hell has such a hard grasp on people. It is hard. It's hard to let some of those things go. But you who are more spiritual are to love them and to help them and to encourage them and to bless them. And the more we do that, the more the burial wraps come off. And he will cause them to forget too. He has caused you to forget. He's caused me to forget. And he will help you to cause other people to forget and to become worshipers. Manasseh, cause to forget. Obed, worship. Come on, there's a progression here. The more that we get away from the world, the more that they're unwrapping Lazarus. Can't you just kind of see that? They're over there and they're unwrapping him and he stinks and the stench of body decay and toxins coming out of the body. One time I thought about being like a mortician person working in a funeral home. And I walked through and there's like, I mean, it's like dead bodies on slabs. I mean, they're just dead bodies on slabs. But if you don't start doing something with them, they begin to decay. It's squirrel season. Everybody notice the squirrels dead on the road? Those little things are going to get eaten by the ravens and they're going to decay. Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days decaying. And his friends, his family are going to help him. The church are the friends and the family of the people who need their burial clothes removed. We help to remove the burial clothes. Paul said, we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to be helping to reconcile people back to God. We're supposed to be helping them to change. See, the Bible study for ladies on Thursdays and Fridays, this is all about the mind and thinking. What is it doing? It's removing burial clothes from our minds so that our minds can be more open and receptive to God. So that when he says, it's going to be okay, you can take that first step and say, okay, I'm going to be okay. I can let loose of that area now, and I can be okay. I've never been anywhere where there are more kids from broken homes than there are here. Never in my life have I been someplace where so many people are estranged from family. I thought it was a fluke. We knew this one lady, she disowned all of her children except one. She didn't want it, and she's a Christian, and she's disowning her own children. There are women here who would do anything to have a right relationship with their children. And there are women here who have been through it and have had their families restored to them and are still having families restored to them. And those older women, come on, you can help those women who are going through the, I don't have relationship with my family. Or people who, I don't have relationship with my family relationship is broken. This is a family right here. This is your friends right here. Many people who've never even had children. These are your children here. This is your family here. You help to unwrap them from the burial clothes. You help people to grow up and to have right relationship with God so that they can look and they can boldly say, it doesn't matter what happened to me in this life. God caused me to forget the past. He can help you to forget the past, can't he? I mean, just thinking about all the people who've been estranged. I mean, you've done everything you know how to do. You do everything you know to do, and then still, you know, crud happens, and your families, they separate, and they don't talk to each other. And come on, God wants to cause you to forget that. He wants you to be a worshiper. He's going to put you in the line of the priestlies. He's going to set you up for success. And he can cause, listen, Joseph was estranged. Everybody he ever knew was gone. And he was made a slave to people he didn't know. But he kept trusting God. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that Joseph complained. Nowhere does it say he fell down in a heap of tears crying about what happened. I guarantee you he had his moments because he's a person like anybody else. But there's no dwelling on that. Because everywhere Joseph went, he rose through the ranks. And ultimately, God brought him to a place where he was able to forget his past, where he was able to forget. And once he was able to forget, God brought everything back to him again, didn't he? God restored 100-fold. He gave him a wife and children, and then he brought back his family to him. God can restore. God wants to restore, but he needs you to trust him and needs you to trust the family of God, your friends and family, to help you to recover, to help you to get strong again. Naomi said, I'll never be happy again. She said, I'll never be happy again. My husband's died. My son has died. I'm too old to have more children. I'll never be happy again. God gave her Ruth. And through Ruth and through Kinsman Redeemer, she had a family again. It wasn't the way she thought. And she had a grandson. And she had a family again. And God restored her. It wasn't exactly the way she planned. It wasn't exactly the way she thought. But she was happy again. Don't say you'll never be happy again. Just continue to trust God, to worship him. Let the family of God around you. Let God continue to remove the burial clothes. And he's going to make you happy again. He's going to restore again. He's going to make you whole again. Because he's the God of wholeness. He's the God of shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing, everything in its place. God is going to help you. He wants to remove the burial clothes, but we have to let him. We have to let him. When he wants to remove something from our lives, we have to let him. When he wants us to change the way we're thinking about a situation, let him. When someone says, I made it through it, I'm on the other side, let me tell you, there's another side. Believe them. Believe them. Because God will restore, he will fix, he will mend, he will make whole again, and he's going to use you, he's going to use me to remove the burial clothes. God wants the burial clothes removed. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to come and to rejoice before him. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be stable and loving and filled with life, so that we can share that with other people. Amen? One of the things that I will say about this before I close is that those things that we've gone through, the troubles we've been through, the fights, the hurt, the loss, we can let them be stumbling stones and be hurt and crushed by them. Or we can let them be stepping stones. Say, I'm going to step out of this and I'm going to keep moving forward. I went to Disneyland a couple weeks ago. There were so many people and everybody seemed so unhappy, and I don't ever want to go back again. But one of the things that Walt Disney said that is so profound, and everybody should do this. He said, around here, we just keep moving forward. We have to keep moving forward, no matter how hard it is at times, no matter how difficult, no matter how strenuous it is to us mentally and emotionally and physically, because loss is a physical thing. It affects you physically. It affects you emotionally and spiritually. when someone rejects you. But do you know what? It doesn't matter if every person in the world rejected you. He never will. He never will reject you. You always have him. If you never have anybody ever else again, you always have him. And he will never reject you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you behind. You always have him. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We thank you that through you we can do all things. Oh, we glorify you today, Heavenly Father. On this day of Shavuot, on this day of covenant, when you verify, when you signify, when you renew, when you reestablish, when you say again, my covenant is a forever covenant with you. And I've sealed you with my spirit. And I've sealed you with my spirit of love. And I've sealed you with my spirit of holiness. That you are wholly mine. You belong wholly to me. No man can grasp you out of my hand. You belong to me. You belong to me. Don't you ever forget that you belong to me. And I will get you through, and I will take you through, and I will bring you through to the other side. And I will cause you to forget what your enemies have said. And I will cause you to forget what your family did. And I will cause you to forget the hurt that was in your heart. Because my love for you is greater than the trouble. My love for you is greater than the affliction. My love for you is able to cause you to stand up and to be strong and face the adversity and say, not this time. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.